And let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today we are at the halfway point in the calendar year. And I want to share with you this morning that I have an idiosyncrasy. Well, if truth be told, I really have several idiosyncrasies, but I'm going to focus on just one of them this morning. According to the dictionary, if a person has an idiosyncrasy, he or she has a little quirk or a funny behavior that makes him or her different. I even have a name for the idiosyncrasy that I want to speak about this morning. It's the theme of my sermon today. I call it halving the distance. As you know, I like to drive. Sometimes I make very long trips. I haven't done the trip all the way out to the Midwest in the last few years, but I used to do that on a regular basis during summer vacation. One of the ways that I cope with making those long drives is to play a game with myself that I call halving the distance. I better spell that out for you because my Midwestern accent may mispronounce the word and then you would lose the whole theme of the morning message. Halving. H-A-L-F-I-N-G. It's not really a word. It's not in the dictionary. Dividing something in half. Let me apply it to driving. When driving, I will mark down the total number of miles to my final destination for the day before I even begin to make the trip. And then I divide that number in two. And that becomes my first target or my first goal. When I reach that, I again divide the whole distance in two, and I aim at reaching the next midway point. You see, I always feel a sense of accomplishment when I reach those halfway points. And then usually over a cup of coffee or something to eat, I think about how well I've done and try to get enough stamina to head for the next target, which of course is simply half of what is still left to drive. But I still need to weigh all the options before I decide whether or not to tackle the next half, or whether I should simply call it quits for the time being. But of course, the closer that I get to that final destination, the more you find in your inner resources the motivation, the desire, the stamina to just keep going. You know, I play that game in other areas of life as well. Maybe it's just one of those idiosyncrasies that I have. For instance, when I begin to read a book, particularly a book that I know I want to read in its entirety, I first put a marker at the halfway point in that book. And that becomes a target for me. And I'm constantly trying to get my way to that point and then decide whether I'm going to continue. And as you can imagine, when I get to that point, I take the marker and put it at the halfway point between that mark and the final thing in the book. What I am doing is helping me to stay on target. In fact, I'll give you another little secret this morning. It has to do with my preparing a sermon. Now, whether you know it or not, My sermons are double space on this sheet of paper. A typical sermon runs 8 or 9 pages. Alan will say that sometimes he knows they run 10 or 11 or 12. You judge this morning which it is. But when I'm preparing my sermon, I know that the halfway point would be page 5. And so that's the first target that I try to reach as I write a sermon. And I really strive to get to page 5. And whenever I do, I stop. I may have a cup of coffee. If it's later at night, it might be a glass of scotch. Sometimes I put the baby to rest for the rest of the night. And then I get up in the morning and I know that I have half left to do. I don't know, it seems to work for me. I've been doing it for about 50 years now. It's my style. And I know what you're saying under your breath. Go back and start counting. Be sure that it's only 9 pages and not 10, 11, or 12. Years ago, I practiced this game of halving the distance when I worked on a summer job out in Chicago. My particular job was to operate a drill press for 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, in a non-union shop. My job was to drill 3 holes in that small piece of metal. I think they call it a chuck, right? Yeah. Which you use to then put the drill bit in. And my job was to, with this machine, drill those 3 holes into the chuck and then take it out of that machine and put it into a box. A normal day's work was 460 pieces that I was supposed to do. And I would love to play a game with myself. You can imagine what it was. Divided by 230. Divided by half and it's 230. And so I would try to reach the 230 by the midpoint in the day. In fact, sometimes I was a little ahead and then I really felt good about myself. And then my fellow workers looked down on me because they were afraid that I might go over the 460. And that would be too bad because then the employer would expect the same of them. It was the only way to really cope with a job that was monotonous, that was boring. Not only did I try to get to the 230, I knew how many to go across and how many to go down. And just for the heck of it, sometimes instead of going straight across, I would go down and up and down and up, just to break the monotony, but always trying to gear to the halfway point by the halfway mark of the day. I was talking just the other day with a couple of friends who are in community theater. Debbie, you'll have to tell me later whether this is really true or not, but they said that they had a sense of accomplishment whenever they memorized the first act or the first half of a play. And I know professional singers who, when they give a recital, set at their first target that halftime intermission. If they get to that point with things going well, a voice holding up to expectations, the music seeming to be appreciated by the audience, then it's much easier to get the adrenaline flowing to be able to tackle the second half of the program. In like fashion, if they feel they have not done well, they know that they have to pull out all stops and give more of themselves in that second half. I don't have it in my notes here, but I was just reading an article about Maria Callas. I take opera news, and it was talking about the first time she appeared at the Met here, and she did horrible, horrible in the first act. And so she really sweated it out to prepare herself to come back and give more to the audience in the second half. Every basketball and football team pushes like crazy during the last few minutes or seconds of the first half as that's ticking away on the clock. And they know that when they get into the locker room and listen to the coach during the halftime little sermonette, he either tells them, you're doing well, or boy, you're going to have to get with it, or we're going to lose. Halving the distance. I think maybe I first learned that from my mother when I would watch her take a break on Saturdays. Saturdays was her cleaning day. My mother was a school teacher, so she had to leave work for on Saturday for doing cleaning. And often she would take a break and say, well, that job now is half done. Half done. I'll take a break before I tackle the rest of it. Now, I think there's a principle that's operating here that, at least from my point of view, is very important. The way to get at most tasks is to divide the task and get working on the first half of it. And sometimes that takes an insurmountable amount of energy and so on just to get to that halfway point. Then the fun of continuing to decide what is left and divide that in half and creating a new goal for yourself. Many organizations and groups set timelines for projects that they're working on. That is, they say that in order to accomplish some goal or objective, they have to be this far by a certain time. And then they're ready to move on and finish what is still to accomplish. They know that fact working and that if there are problems that emerge that they have to be tackled during that first half. To complete the first half allows them permission to go on. You see, racers don't race the whole race at one time. They run it segment by segment. Singers don't sing the whole concert at one time. They sing it segment by segment. I can't drive my entire trip to the Midwest in one jaunt. I need to do it segment by segment. My reading, my writing, other projects that I have set for myself, projects for the church to work on, all need to be done by tackling first the first half and then continuing on for the second half. I think you've come to realize why I'm preaching this sermon on this particular day, because we have now reached the halfway point, not only in the calendar year, but the halfway point in terms of the life of this congregation for the year 2013. I remember once a woman consulting with her doctor about getting up in the morning and seeming not to be able to accomplish what she considered really a very enormous task. More content to just lie in bed all day long. The doctor said, first pull one leg out of the bed and then stand on it and the job is half done. Try it. It's true. And the second half becomes much easier. And I think the same thing needs to be said about facing the disciplines of the Christian life. Pharaoh read a whole list of them, first from the Psalms, and then from the writings of Paul to the church at Rome. You noticed in the bulletin it said Phillips translation. That's not me, that's J.B. Phillips, not even a relative. But the passage from Romans 12 spells out what those disciplines are. Mandates that are laid down on the Christian. Things that need working on if we're really to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Four areas are touched upon by the Apostle Paul. Briefly stated, they are, number one, to be persistent in nurturing love as a central force in your life. Number two, to be persistent in establishing a habit of prayer. Number three, to be persistent in achieving the Christian ideal of stewardship. And number four, to manifest in your ministry the heart of Christ. And each of the demands of the gospel, they seem, for me and for you, to be beyond what we really can accomplish. How constant should be our prayer life? How liberal should be our stewardship? How compassionate should be our relationship with people unknown? And maybe the reason that we fail at these areas is that we've tried to do it all at once. And we have to learn to measure it out. Learn to half the distance toward their fulfillment. Let me give you an example or two. Maybe the place to begin is not to be constant and continually in prayer, but to work toward that, achieving it half by half. One of you shared with me not long ago that you take the bulletins home on Sunday and you use those prayers at home because you haven't developed a habit of being able to put your longings and so on in your own words. And so you've used the words of that scripture, of that bulletin. That's marvelous. It also keeps us from having to go around and pick up all those old bulletins. In your stewardship, don't try to make the objective that our denomination sets 3% of your income. Just work out to do part of that. And when you get to that point, consider whether you can now go a little further. That's how we need to live our life. Constantly going section by section. There is a verse in the 119th Psalm, which was read this morning, that to me offers a wonderful image of what it means, for instance, to be able to study Scripture. And people say, that's difficult. That's really very difficult for me. The verse is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'm sure I have shared this image with you before. That the ancient Israelites, when they traveled at night, they would attach a small lamp to the top of their feet, which yielded just enough light to take the next step. We live in an age in which we want a spotlight that magnifies everything that's out there in the future. We need to learn from the ancient Israelites. A lamp unto my feet, giving you just enough light to take the next step. But until you take that step, you don't have enough light to go further. You know, we can learn so much from even those simple verses in the Psalms. Another verse that to me is very important is what J.B. Phillips says in terms of learning to be at peace with everyone. You can't be at peace with everyone, but pick out two or three people that you're not at peace with and start working on that. And if you work on that, you find it easier to exhibit that in your relationships with other people as well. Well, I'm watching my time. And I want to add a little postscript to my message this morning. And it's very important. Postscripts. Perhaps as you were listening to my earlier description of halving the distance, those of you with a flair for mathematics were saying to yourself, if you keep halving the distance of what remains, you will never really achieve your goal. You'll keep getting closer, closer, but keep halving the distance. You don't reach it. And to me, that also is the beautiful reality of life. It's a reality that keeps me humble. It keeps reminding us that there's still more to travel. No matter how close we've gotten to our goal, there's still more to travel. I love the words of Robert Louis Stevenson, and if there were ever a tombstone made for me, this is what I want printed on my tombstone. Words from Robert Louis Stevenson. To travel faithfully is better than to arrive. What a model for life. Let us bow together in prayer. Oh, keep us on the road, O Lord, with our destinations clear. Nurture and sustain us as we travel, that in our journey through life, we might be blessed for traveling faithfully. We pray in the name and in the spirit of the one who has gone before us, Jesus the Christ. Amen.